Here we are again, Dr. Clendenning, back on Total Disruption. How are you this afternoon?
I am good, the Michael Liberti. How are we doing, man?
I'm still stellar, man. I'm in the stratosphere and I'm climbing. Oxygen's thin up here.
I can go a couple different ways.
I know. It's crazy, right? But hey, if I don't have an inflated sense of self, who's going to have one for me?
There you go.
Where is that borderline delusions of grandeur? I don't know yet. But I guess we'll unpack it this episode. So speaking of delusions of grandeur, I want to pick up from our last episode where we were talking about dealing with alpha males and or alpha females or alpha theys. I want to go into, hey, when you're in a leading position, right, and you're a leader and you're making decisions for a group or you have buy-in, how to be comfortable owning that buy-in and how to be not feel guilty if it doesn't go your way. But I wanted to elaborate on the sports analogy I had. So it was a championship game a few weekends ago, and we're talking about 11-year-old, you know, baseball. Great analogy. Baseball is life. It really is. Most sports are, but baseball is really life. It's individual and team at the same time. And this kid makes a play, but it doesn't make a play. It makes one part of the play and then freezes. And the next action, if you would have just done something, would have led to a positive outcome for the team. And he froze, and he didn't, and he choked. And I happened to be walking by his mom. She's like, where's his father? What happened there? Blah, 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 blah. She was like really upset with him. And I said, well, instead of being 22, he happened to be 11 at that moment. And she was like, oh, you're right. Like, I immediately, because it was a championship game, right? It wasn't game ending, but it was towards the end of the game, and it would have really been a pivotal momentum shift. I was like, he was 11. What do you want? Wasn't 22 right there. So that little bit of encouragement calmed her down. Now, little did everyone know, subsequently, that turned into a behavior pattern, which extended into... Now, that each tournament, each week is a different tournament if you're in a certain kind of baseball, which we are in this case. That same kid now then carried that behavior, probably not from that, but he's had it in his head, and he was displaying that behavior in other games, subsequently making similar decision-making or lack of decision-making processes. So it was just interesting to see it being a trend versus a thing. And it's uncharacteristic, which was I found to be interesting. And again, he's a kid. Things happen. Nobody's perfect. And it's just a prime example. So there was a little bit of that coaching, and that was that story from the last episode. But let's get into some framework. When you're in a decision, and obviously I was in the blue, she was in the red, and I was trying to help, and I wasn't trying to linger, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all, but I was trying to be a leader at the same time in about a 15-second framework. And literally, I was in stride as I was walking by her. And I really helped diffuse the situation. And if you've been around the block enough, it happens to everybody's kid. It happens to everybody. So when I go back to you and I say, we got these 15 seconds to make impact and we're leading and we want to feel good about what we said, we want to feel good about, because what we say matters, right? What we say matters. It does have impact. It might be a cursory statement to us, but depending on who you are and where you are, it makes impact. President of the United States makes a cursory statement that probably should be said at a bar or in private. Man, that thing gets dropped around the world. Some famous influencer makes a statement. Maybe doesn't have any context or meaning behind it. Boom. Conversely, somebody in the middle of nowhere makes a statement, same statement, and it has different meaning. How do you own leadership? How do you own it? How do you feel comfortable being the alpha in the situation?
There's a lot there. I mean, so first of all, context has so much to do with perception. Plain and simple. And again, it depends what state you're in of how you're going to take a statement. You know, that particular one, I would bet you if I were to unpack the conversation or the statement Mike made to the other parent of giving, providing the context of, hey, let's remember the kid's 11. You know, we're not playing even, you know, we're not even playing triple A ball here. The kid's 11. He's still working, man. He's still growing. And there's such a great opportunity for that young man right now because somebody has recognized there's a pattern developing. There's something going on. And it is highly likely that what he's doing is he's actually thinking instead of acting from practice space. Like he knows how to do the first thing, but then he's like, okay, what do I do? And his brain kicked on. So he's not going from instinct. Instinct is built by practice and repetition. So there's a couple of opportunities there for that young man to practice, do one, then move to two. It's not keep practicing number one. He knows how to do number one. He needs to practice his transitions. And as a great leader, right, as a great coach, as a great person that's going to be able to step in there and go, all right, Jimmy, you know, little Jimmy needs absolute help in his transitions. He needs to be able to, and it's something simple. It always ends in sports. And I love the fact that sports and leadership tie so tightly together. Odds are good that all he needs to do is create a anchor, create a trigger of whether you're picking up a grounder, you're picking up a fly ball, whatever you do, in order to move into the next, in order to step into the next position, all you do is step forward with your left foot. It's something so critically little and simple like that, of that momentum, that movement triggers your brain to the next step. Instead, he stops and he stands and he freezes, but he's training himself to freeze. So all we have to do is get him moving. Like that's totally where I would go with that as a coach in that particular space. And it's true of leaders. It's true of all of us all over the place. And yet so much is context. Mike makes the point of something gets posted on social media, it will be taken three different ways. 100% true. And the reality is when the person, whoever it is, I don't care, doesn't matter, makes a statement, writes a post, whatever it's going to be, they're in one particular space that we have no idea what the context of the statement is. We are reacting to the statement based on our internal state. Are we agreeable? Did we just look at it and we scrolled right on past it because we just don't care? It just doesn't matter. Did we comment on it? Hey, that's cool. Or were we a little bit, little edgy about it and we maybe responded or we blocked them or were we straight up activated and we threw a temper tantrum because of our personal state and our emotional charge towards that thing. So when we're talking leadership and communication, we're not just talking about the state of the other person. We're talking about ours. Mike uses the reference all the time of the zoom in, zoom out, 30,000 foot view to be able to check your state. Where am I? What am I doing? You know, and depending on, I would bet you the gal, and this is where I was going back to that, I would bet you his mother was orange, not red. That's why that was acceptable. Like they were both in a similar state of, I'm not thrilled, I don't love it, it's not cool. But if she'd have been supercharged, if she was gonna be super red, and Mike would have, as he walked by, given her a comment, she could have perceived it and taken it a completely different way, that maybe Mike was being snarky or whatever it was gonna be. So you gotta, and I know we're talking a ton about communication here lately on the show, related to how we act in the world. And I will tell you why we're doing it.
That's everything.
Because it's everything. It's absolutely everything. We're doing it because we have, I'm going to say it, man. We are, as a society, are getting worse at communicating and connecting as human beings than we've ever been. And I'm going to blame technology as a result of that. Because we're doom scrolling, we are texting all the time, we are emailing everybody. Email and text messages are not communication tools. They are delivery devices. You need information to get to the other person. You cannot read text with context. You can't. It does not work that way. unless you're going to put it in, you know, we hear the joke, it's all caps and all exclamation points, therefore they're pissed off. No, maybe they just thought that's the way you'll open the email. You can't take context or emotion into this text messaging stuff. So we're talking a ton about communication because as human beings, we have to retrain ourselves on how to do it because we have fallen off the wagon in the last 25 years with the massive, amazing advancements in technology have caused us to be worse at communicating, worse at connecting, worse at doing rapport. That's just where I am in my particular opinion, and I'm watching it so frequently corporately. I'm watching it athletically. I'm seeing it person to person within families. I'm reading a lot of material from, divorce rates are way up. There's all kinds of data that I could use to prove my point, and yet it's just data that I'm using to look at and go, okay, there's a need, there's a gap, something's occurring, and the thing that we're seeing is occurring is this communication model. So that's why I beat this drum so hard.
Well, we also have a communication hack to leverage technology, and that's mm-hmm. the gap. I think you're missing a key point. You're absolutely right in everything you're saying, but technology's not going anywhere. Nope. So, you know, You spearheaded this in terms of organizing everything that we sort of put together and developing an app, developing this clinic that we have, and developing this communication method. We are literally leveraging AI, we're leveraging tech, we're leveraging everything you have around you without any special anything else to help you become a better communicator. And on May 13th, what are we doing? 10 a.m. or something like that, Eastern Time? Or?
I believe it's noon Eastern Time, 10 Mountain Time. Eastern Time.
We're having a clinic, and we're putting this clinic on for everybody out there, corporate, regular people, entrepreneurs, just knowing the conversation. There's everything is communication, everything's sales language, everything's language. You have to put it down into something. Everything is communication for a purpose. Words matter. Things have a meaning. Even if you misspeak, it has a meaning. Apologies matter, right? Everything matters to somebody at some point. Whether it stays mattering is the way you handle it. If it has sustainable legs, come meet us up. Go to total-disruption.com. Disruption.com. Register there. Come join us. We're going to teach you a lot. It's only an hour, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Quick and boom. And space is limited. So when we, let's just deep dive down there. I see it all the time. Like even in my kids, my friends, I watch myself. I have to be very like go into a group. I don't know if you're in a group setting. But see how long it takes. If there's a gap in communication in a group, you'd be surprised how many people just kind of go. I go right into their social media, checking text. Sometimes it's a habit for me just to feel good, like a child teething on a teething ring. I feel like I'm missing something if I'm not checking my text, checking my schedule. It's a fidget. Mm-hmm. It really is a fidget. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if you're going to lead and you're going to be different, either learn how to maximize the tools like you and I are doing, or learn how to temper their use. And there's something to be said for the immediate restructuring of how you interact with your tech, just like anything else. If you're trying to lead people, it's important to understand where you're leading from. And it's important to understand what someone's going through. And it's important to have a little bit of knowledge in the area. Otherwise, you're just kind of a coach that's not really coaching from experience, which is okay. Because you can study subject matter. Like if you're going to teach me archaeology, well, you've never been dead before. And you've never been alive when a million years ago, right? You've studied. Okay, that's your doing part. You studied archaeology, right? If you're coaching me on how to conduct a site survey, you know, you might have done it, but you've never been dead and you weren't around. So Again, it's a con it's again, we talk about context and we talk about leveraging communication. And as I segue back into that owning leadership, and let's go deep dive. When you're making decisions and you're owning leadership, and you may don't look at yourself as a leader, let's help people navigate with that. How do you feel comfortable being out in front when you've never been comfortable? How do you teach somebody that?
Okay, three things. Context, 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 is where we're going to go. So teaching leadership is not a one and done. It's not plain and simple. It's not. And that doesn't matter if you are a self-designated leader, you've always been a leader, you are wanting to be a leader, or you just want to hide. It's no different of how we teach leaders. So the easiest way, so I'm going to give you the easy hack on this one. If I am a leader and I am developing leaders, I need to help that leader take accountability. I need to help that leader be able to ask better questions. I need to help that leader show up as the best version that they can of the person that they are. I lead differently than Mike leads. Plain and simple. We lead differently. That is just how we are. Why? Because we're different people. We're different human beings. We are going to react and show up different. There is no one size fits all shoe. There's no Cinderella shoe. Put the shoe on, poof, you're a leader, right? That doesn't exist. It's not out there. So it's about understanding who the other person is. And like Mike said, it's about understanding who we are. I have a specific methodology that I follow in order to help craft and develop leaders. That's been what my coaching practices have been based on for years. Yes, it's largely the communication model, largely a huge part of how I coach. And it is about, it's not just how we communicate with other people, it is about how we communicate with ourselves. What we tell ourselves matters, right? There's no reason there, what. Oh man, there's been in so many movies. I can't even think of the most recent one that I saw it in. Of the world does a really wonderful job at tearing you down. You don't have to help it by telling yourself these different things. I'm not this, I'm not that, or whatever it's going to be. As a leader, we have got to be solid in our belief system, period. We have to be solid in our belief system. So we can, and I'll walk this backwards even a little bit further and give you step one. We've talked about this so many times. We've talked about affirmations and gratitudes, and I believe that they are so incredibly powerful. Absolutely some of the most critical, most powerful things because they're self-beliefs, they're self and limiting beliefs related to what it is. If you get up in the morning, well, I back it up even a little more. Your brain has one job. Your hypothalamus, the little squishy thing in the back of your head, has one job. It is to do exactly what you tell it to do. Whether it's going to listen to what Mike tells my brain what to do, or it's going to listen to what I tell my brain what to do, has one job to do exactly what you tell it to do. Here's the example. You get out of bed in the morning and say, I feel like crap today. It has one job to tell you exactly why you feel like crap. Well, you ate an entire pizza for dinner last night. You doom scrolled till 2 o'clock in the morning on political posts. Didn't sleep very well, and you got up and didn't stretch. And it'll give you all the data to prove why you don't feel well. Which, how does the rest of your day typically go? Goes like crap. It's just how it's going to go. The same is true if you tell yourself, "Well, I'm not a leader." Your brain will find every possible data point to prove your point. The same is true of I want to be a leader. What your brain will do is it will tell you every reason that you're not. You have to tell yourself, I am a leader. I lead people. When you do that, your brain is going to show up differently in order to do it. So for me, when it's how do we train people to be a leader, it starts internal. Right, we can't just give them scripts. We can't just give them, here's the thing that you're going to need. We've got to find out what they're doing, what they're saying to themselves, because whatever they're saying to themselves is going to become external and they're going to start saying it to other people. So we got to get you grounded first. And this is the work that I did on myself for years, starting in 2018 is when it started. The first time I took an NLP class, I had not realized I was self-destroying in my limiting beliefs. And that's such a critical piece of, we can't lead others if we aren't even able to lead ourselves. If we're for 15 hours, I can't tell, if I'm doom scrolling for 15 hours a day, I can't tell Mike, hey, use your cell phone too much. There's no
way. But you can also relate, like maybe if you're doom scrolling, it's because you're depressed or something and you've been there before and you know you're using that as just an outlet. Because sometimes
as a coping mechanism. Yeah.
But sometimes that's kind of okay too. Sometimes in certain contexts, it's okay because let's just say you're facing something catastrophic and you purposely just don't want to think about it anymore. And you can't run, you can't walk, you can't breathe, you can't this, you can't that. And the easiest thing for you to do is just flip through, go ahead and flip through.
To shut your brain off.
Understand it in context, right? Know that that's not a permanent solution. The problem is still out there. It's like being drunk. You're still you're drunk in the same spot you were standing. Your problems are still existing. Right, like you're just drunk or high. Nothing has changed. You haven't warped into a different situation, right? Whatever you were leaving is still there. But again, the movie, I think one of them you're thinking about is Rocky Balboa. There's a scene where Stallone is talking to his son outside of Victor. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they call it Adrian's in Philly. It's Victor's Cafe. And shout out to my boy Bindi. Victor's Cafe. Out in Philly, where they're standing out there, and it's Adrian's, and he's talking about, it's not how hard you hit, it's about, you know, how hard you get hit and you keep moving forward. And that is very inspirational, and that's a very good scene. I would recommend looking it up on YouTube, whether you're a Stallone fan or not. That is a masterpiece in motivation. That is a masterpiece in what we're talking about. Just from a filmography standpoint, from a, hey, let's let a story do some coaching and let's talk about that. Because he talks about hiding in the shadow. He talks about all this stuff. And it's very, resonates. And it's out there. Go get motivated by folks.
Okay, so I'm going to straight up tangent on that. I agree with Mike. That was artistic cinematography. That was a brilliant moment. It was probably, in my opinion, Stallone's shining moment in his very illustrious film career. Dude's made a gajillion dollars off of what he does. And yet he wrote that. That's the cool part about that one, is that came directly from him. He is not reading a script that somebody else wrote for him and just delivering it like a brilliant actor. He wrote that segment. That came from a place of leadership because he had a very specific message he wanted to deliver to everybody that was watching that. He wanted to make sure they understood what he really thought. And you're right, it was a brilliant piece of cinematography because of what it was. And it is a great, you can find it on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's an outstanding segment. Go check it out, from a inspirational, motivational piece, because it talks about the self-work. Right? It totally does. I think you're absolutely on point with that. And I love the fact that, like, such a huge action star, you know, somebody that's one of those, most of us would have thought of him as a terrible thing, and I'm probably going to get a call, would have thought him as just kind of a, you know, dumb jock. He's just an action star. He just goes out there and shoots stuff and beats people up, and he doesn't have a brain between his ears. We would have thought that direction. And yet that is proof in the pudding of what he has done to self-develop into this particular leadership role. He has produced and directed and written and done some amazing work behind the scenes that he just, nobody knows about. You know, he is still this big, just even at the age that he is now, the dude is ripped. He works every day on himself, mentally and physically. So I think tying that together with Sylvester Stallone is a great way to kind of end this segment. Of course it is. I know. It is a great way to roll this segment in there, because I want you to think about the amount of discipline and self-worth and work that he had to do to develop himself into the leader that he is. We have to do it too.
But it's also okay if Stallone makes a crappy movie. He's made a ton of them. And it's okay if You're out there. You just, it's again, we talk about context. You're practicing failing. You're practicing being successful. When you're making decisions, they're not going to apply to everybody. And you're not going to be everybody's favorite person. And you're not always going to be right. You're going to be right for the moment. But when you look down the road, you're going to have to live with your decisions. And that's okay too. Like, you know,
That's
I'm
the
not saying
ownership part.
everything you're going to live with, but that you're going to live with it. People live with their decisions every day. Fortune favors the bold. If you know where you are in life and you're a person that likes to be led, when you're responsible for choosing your leader, you can always choose a different leader. If you're actively allowing yourself to be led, just make sure you have the power to choose a different leader if you want. Anything else to add, Jake? I mean, I think we're out of time, dude.
Nope, come see us May 13th. We got more to talk about.
All right. For my esteemed colleague, Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Michael Liberci. We'll see you next time on Total Disruption.